You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Look who's back, everybody.
Yes.
Me. Also Christian's here.
Everybody was wondering, where was the normal version of Alexis the last 2 weeks?
Oh, buddy. What did you think? What did you think of, Alexis gone wild?
It's when I'm gone, when I realize what my true purpose of being on this show is, of my truth.
sitting there with a lasso corralling me.
Look, shout out to everybody, all the guest hosts.
Pablo Maurer, Elisha Edward, Lorena Rusi.
Yes.
Do we have anyone else?
That's it.
That's it.
No. Oh, no. Tosin. Scams, of
Come
course.
On.
How can you forget?
You know what it was? He was the first one.
Yeah.
Well, you can see that was the calmest I was because I had no idea what was happening. The whole time I'm like, Ryan?
But what's good, everybody?
Why am I not in this shot?
Get in there, buddy. Yes, I am excited to be back. Obviously, I got married. And I went on a honeymoon.
There's no crowd. So I figured I'd do it for
just
them.
Everyone's angry. Them, right? If you wanted me, you should have said something prior. Everybody held it for too long. You know, right. I was one of those like, if anyone at this wedding.
They didn't do that.
Nobody did
that. You chanted for a hot minute. I've never been to a Buddhist.
Right. I've never heard it referred to as chanting for a hot minute.
Full 10 minutes. My guy held a note for 10 minutes. My guy did his thing. It was a beautiful ceremony.
Yes.
But I was like waiting for somebody has something to say because I thought everyone was going to look at me to see if I was going to say something stupid. And here's the thing. I will not ruin a ceremony.
I think a lot of people were surprised.
I think so. I think people were. Also, you asked me like 2 days before the event to say something. And I don't know if you did that on purpose. Like Alexis will say something, but we can't say anything squarely because then he may plan something. So you asked me, and everyone was like, "You're not gonna." And I was like, "Would you please?"
People
thought I was gonna get up there and make like rude jokes.
How bad could it be? I've seen those videos online of like wedding speeches, like the best man or something will give a wedding speech, but literally it's just like roasting the wife or the bride.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
and it's just like, all right, you don't need to say everything.
Yeah. We could keep something in your pocket. But yeah, it was a beautiful event, and I felt terrible. Your best man had COVID, so he watched from the balcony.
Yeah, it was very
with,
odd.
Like, three masks on.
Look, we made the most of it, but this is a modern wedding. This is a pandemic wedding. But luckily,
in the age of Omicron,
there were actually. Actually, probably about six people that tested positive before the wedding and didn't go, or people that maybe their partners tested positive and they weren't sure.
Eric Keating, who came through but couldn't go to the reception.
Right. So it was, obviously amongst all this positivity and joy, no pun intended.
Hilarious.
With the positive. But it was, it was obviously sad. A bunch of people could not make it. As of right now, knock on, well, I hope this is wood, no one has contacted me saying like, hey, I tested positive after going to the wedding and stuff like that. So
really?
I'm glad for that already.
They just haven't called you. They called me. It's a lot of people. No, I'm joking. The food was great. I know that was like a big thing. People kept asking me the food. I've already said it on the podcast. Food turned out to be great. As soon as I walked in the reception, I walked in there like, here we fucking go. It's going to be nothing but a kale-a-thon. I actually brought a bag of Doritos Flamin' Hots.
Did you really?
I 100% brought it back into Real Swimming Hots because I was like, this thing might go south. You know what I mean? I may be handed a bowl of sprouts. And as soon as I walked in, someone goes, mini cheeseburger. And I was like, my body just released all its tension.
They grilled your name on top of the bun. They're like, wow.
They're like, we've been given strict instructions to keep coming to you. And then a fried shrimp showed up and then a tostone with chicken on top.
You said like a fried shrimp like it was a mascot. It's a guy in a suit.
It's just the guy doing the running man next to me. Oh, she came.
Yeah, Alexis, right?
Yeah. We're here to keep you busy.
This is your shrimpogram. Yeah.
It was dope. And then, of course, you guys, beautiful ceremony. Everyone had a great time, blah, blah, blah. Alexis had a pocket pizza ready. I thought about it. I actually did think I downloaded the Popeyes app just in case. It was not.
I didn't know they had one.
They have an app. app.
Yeah. Oh, wow. For delivery?
You get a 50% discount on your first order.
Ooh.
Right?
Damn. Alexis out here starting a bunch of accounts so he can get.
So we're here delivering to Alexis Barrera, right?
Just you with a mustache on top of your mustache.
I don't need it. I have a monocle. I don't need it because they don't. This is not an ID verification.
Didn't know you were this classy, Mr. Barreros. Yeah.
We also have a Galexis Barreros who scheduled the delivery for tomorrow.
Obviously, it was a lovely time. I really did enjoy the wedding a lot.
Do you remember anything of it? Because I know a lot of times it's a bit of a blur. My wedding, I remember in spurts because I was being dragged to take photos.
The one thing I regret was doing heroin right before the beginning of that. Really affected my memory.
You know what, honestly, balls. The balls you had.
I was cruising through the
It's the only way you would have gotten through the ceremony. You were ready to run.
I do remember it. It definitely went by faster than I thought it would. I did not sleep that much the night before. Just because
I thought you were saying after. I was like, go ahead, homie. Don't put that out on a podcast.
Okay. You want to see the clips? I already have a whole.
I know. Here's a time lapse of me crying in the corner.
It really was a lovely, lovely time. I mean, I've obviously been to a lot of weddings and. Right. And the
just brag, huh? this guy goes to a lot of weddings.
Okay, real Catholic ones too. Okay, bro.
No chant going on in there, bro. Nothing but sorrow and fear of God.
The way it's supposed to be. It really was a memorable. It really felt like I've been to a lot of weddings, and not that I necessarily think about how the groom and the bride are feeling and all that other stuff, but right. It really was. It was more.
Who cares about that?
I don't care.
That's not what we're here for. Chicken and fish, bro.
I really, it affected me more than I thought it would. I didn't think I would be as like emotional.
You cried a little bit.
I cried a little bit.
You cried a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. It was,
which is like in a good way though.
Sure.
wasn't like you were in control. You wouldn't come out of the bridal suite.
Get Alexis in here. I gotta explain that.
Could you just get the fucking shrimp out of this room? He's just. Is it me? Should I be out of here?
Barry Gunner said Christian had hallucinations of Everton winning the league. Yeah, dude. That's what I mean.
You know he was messed up, bro. That's some good heroin my guy did, bro. They're saying left my ass up, Justin. What did Justin? Oh, I had a pocket pizza. Christian peaked as he said, I do.
Yeah, it was a peak of my life right there. Man.
Christian decided to do an 8-ball before the ceremony just to be amped throughout the whole thing. Woo!
My baby.
You guys ready to dance? It's like, you haven't even said I do yet.
Like, do you take this one to your breath? I love this bitch! I'm like, what?
Bro, let me tell you something. Everyone else sees that shrimp, right? I don't know what's in this stuff.
But my deal is here. Thank you, man.
I do, but one of my favorite things, you may not know this if you didn't get an invite, but Christian put it said black tie
event. Right.
I wore a nice tuxedo, right? Mm-hmm. I listened. Some dude showed up in velour pants, the crispiest Air Force Ones I've ever seen, and a dress shirt untucked. Who is that man?
Wait, who was that?
I don't know.
A velour suit?
Yeah, green velour pants. And
my cousin? No, with the hat.
No, that dude is a legend. I'm going to talk about him next. He had on green with like yellow piping, white Air Force Ones, and a white dress shirt untucked.
What? Who was this?
You don't remember him?
I think this was like the shrimp that you were
talking. He was a little bit of a bigger dude.
Bigger dude. Where was he? Like, where was he sitting?
He was sitting, where you're sitting, he was sitting to your left. He showed up a little bit later in the ceremony.
Green.
Oh, dude, this guy's a legend. I was like, oh yeah, Jigo, black tie, get going.
And he spoke Spanish.
I think so. Yeah, yeah. He was Dominican dude, like straight.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Oh my
he
god.
He looked a little bit like Big Papi.
Oh, that's my cousin's husband.
Oh, okay. My dude was like, oh yeah, they said black tie. Get out of fresh pair of Air Force Ones.
Yeah, I don't think he got the memo. She made him not giving it to him.
There was also a guy in a checkerboard fedora, blue suit jacket with a different color, like that pink was, lining.
That's my cousin Gio.
Fingernails painted, a little bit older. He was wearing like white snakeskin boots.
My man.
This dude started dancing with my wife, and then he was, I forget, she knows how to dance like to Latin music. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they were dancing. And he goes, he said something to her, and then she laughed and came over. And I go, what happened? She goes, you better not be around Dominican men, or you better watch out for Dominican men or something.
Right, right.
I was like, oh, yeah, Uncle Gio. Can we not flirt threaten my wife? Is that impossible?
That's just good counsel.
Yeah. That's great advice.
That's my my cousin Gio. Look, he got divorced recently.
And he turned
and he's at an 11. Yeah. Okay.
I was like, yo, the older dude, I thought he was by himself and painted his nails. So I was like, who is he? You know what I mean? And you were like, yeah, man, he never dressed like this or painted his nails until he got divorced. Now he's out here. He danced with every woman. It didn't matter if they were married. He cut in. He cut in on your mother-in-law and danced with your mother. I'm like, this dude is a G, bro.
Gio's a legend, bro. Yeah, he's an absolute legend. Okay.
Gio gets it, bro.
So we had a good time. Yeah, I'll be posting.
Barry Gunas said, Alexis shed one gangster tear. I wiped that shit off real quick.
In the Slack, I'll probably post some wedding photos. Okay.
Join the Patreon.
Join the Patreon for the exclusive access. The photos that Us Weekly is trying to buy for $4 million.
And we were like, that's not enough.
Okay, we going straight to Gully Squad. Yeah,
you need to Photoshop the shrimp out of it. I do got warrants.
Incredible time. So I'm really, really happy about it. Helene was happy about it as well.
Look, I forgot that.
I got a whole ass ring, bro. Look at this. Look at this. I mean, look, and I went on a honeymoon. I went to Italy.
Didn't lose the ring.
Oh, okay. My virginity, yes. I did. That's gone.
It's about time.
And we should probably talk about this. We didn't even.
Your virginity. Let's talk about it.
I went to Italy for my honeymoon. Mm-hmm. And
did a little bit of a travel, traveling, started in Milan.
Yeah. Right. Went from Lake Como, Milan, Napoli, Amalfi Coast, and then ended up at Rome. It was incredible. Mm-hmm. But while I was there, the United States seemed to be in a pretty bad place, but it was in some decent shape.
It started to burn down to the ground as you left.
Because,
by the way, you're not allowed to leave ever again.
The United
SCOTUS was like, Chris is gone. Let's get it.
Okay, the United States is looking as run down as the Coliseum in Rome, bro.
Hey, there's a reference you can make if you've been there this week, Leslie.
Okay. You know? I'm about to hit you with a lot of Italian references. You know?
He's like, this is like ordering polenta in Southern Italy, right, everybody?
You get it. This guy gets it. But no, I mean, look, we should at least address it.
Christian heard the ruling, the overturn of Roe v. Wade, and he went, mon ami. Maron.
Mon ami. The French?
I don't know. I forgot.
But no, it was, I was there. Yeah, on Friday, and I heard the news, and it was, one of the most devastating, disgusting things I've
ever
seen.
Absolutely disgusting.
And
now they've just brought back praying in schools.
Yeah, I heard.
So they're working at a rapid clip to bring 1955 back.
I think it's maybe about 200 years prior to that. Yeah, dude. They are really, they're basically saying, like, if it wasn't written day one of the Constitution, we don't know about it. You know what? We're all slaves again. Clarence Thomas.
Bro, my marriage might be, your marriage might be null and void by the end of the year.
It is an absolute travesty. I mean, it's beyond upsetting, obviously, what this does for women's rights, human rights.
I'm not even upset. I'm disgusted by it.
It's embarrassing. You know how...
Wild embarrassing. When Ireland is further ahead of you...
Bro.
You fucked up.
I just came from the Vatican, dude. I was at the...
Like, yo, what are they
what
doing?
Are they doing out there?
They're saying in our book.
It's... on a serious note, it is... I mean, there's no other way to feel. I mean, look, wherever you stand or whatever, like, you know where we stand when it comes to this stuff. And it is...
On the correct side of history. That's
yeah, dude.
Stand.
I mean, it is, you hear all these stories, especially about... I was in Pompeii. Mm-hmm. I was in Pompeii, and you see the...
So you saw what America's going to look like in 10 years?
it's a glimpse into the future.
You're like, oh, okay, we need to get a carbon dioxide alarm.
Pompeii had like, you know, you see all the old homes. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've never been, it's unbelievably preserved. I mean, these homes are from like the first century.
Yeah.
And you just start thinking about like the people in these homes, in these buildings.
Taking a nap,
living their lives and stuff like that.
Hey, what's this on my foot? Next thing you know, you're gone.
And when I was in Lake Como, I went to this villa like that's now like a museum. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know, wealthy people, wealthy Romans and right. all this other stuff. And it was talking about this woman. It was Villa Carlota. That was the name of the villa. And it was like passed down to her. And she was this wealthy woman. And she had four children. And I saw the last, she died during childbirth. And she was probably like 32 years old or something like that. And it's like, okay, in that time, there was just no way to know that maybe this pregnancy would take her life or could take the child's life or whatever.
Everything. If you got a cut on your hand, they didn't know.
There's just clearly so much risk and danger to right. giving birth that the idea where in a modern world where we are, that you would remove the option for women to not have to go through that if they didn't want to is absolutely absurd. It is disgusting. It's given terrible. the risk that women take that we do not, and to say like, no, you have to go through that.
These are the same motherfuckers that were saying, yo, don't make me take a vaccine if I don't want to, or a boop-boop. Right, it's YouTube. Don't make me take a boop-boop if I don't want to. Now they're saying, no, even if you're going to die, even if someone put this baby in you without you asking, you now have to have it. That think about how disgusting that is. Just honestly, if you voted for that side of it, I don't care if SCOTUS is watching.
Bro, listening. This is a message directly. Yo,
Clarence, dog, you trash, dog. You and your wife, trash.
Gorsuch, this is for you. You better open your ears,
you need
bro.
To Gorsuch this. His dick, my dude.
Sure, whatever that means. What's the? There it is. You got.
Ah.
Damn, nobody coming.
And you know what, though? You no longer, don't stop asking to be a guest on this podcast. You're not welcome. It.
Okay.
You're not welcome.
We're going to be forwarding your emails to Planned Parenthood.
BFC Manison, he went to Bombay. Yo, one of those books, don't look over there. That's Pompey. You out here in Bombay, my dude. It's one dude.
My goodness. So, look. You know, for everybody, look, I think the next either a couple years or whatever, however this battle, however long this battle has to go, you know.
Good luck. I'm moving to Europe. y'all fight that good fight. My family left Cuba when shit got hot. I'm leaving America if shit gets hot.
Well, I'll try to fight the good fight and support as much as I can. It's horrible. That's all I've been thinking about the last few days. I'm like,
Barry Gunn said Christian comes back and the show gets serious. Yeah, it was a wild time for those 2 weeks you weren't here. Not a lot got covered.
Yeah, look, I didn't listen to most of the episode. I caught clips in here and there, but the only one I was genuinely concerned about was just like the PK Gavi one, where I was just like, all right, I this is Alexis. I don't even understand what I don't even know what joke he's trying to make. How old is this man?
Yeah. That was the point. I was like, we don't need someone in here putting bumpers up. Oh, the joke has to make sense, and it can't just be about looking at a dick. You know what I mean?
Speaking of looking at dicks, I was in Pompeii, and Pompeii has this very strange... you've never been there, right?
No, I have not.
Okay, so apparently in ancient Rome, penises were a sign of good luck. Did you know this?
No.
So the people would draw penises everywhere, and that would be like a sign that this either block or village is blessed. Mm. So then, people would. This is we'll get to the soccer or football in a moment, everybody. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this is obviously
there's a little bit of the Alexis. Influence.
We're talking about Serie A. Just there. Okay. But there would be. So outside of the home. And these homes are preserved. I mean, they're clearly very, very old. But
there's a dong on the outside.
There's a dong, like where you know how Jews have a mezuzah outside?
Yeah.
They would put a penis, like a drawing of a penis that an eight-year-old would make in class.
Yeah.
They put that right on the bang on the door.
Yo, when I started doing graffiti, that was the first thing we did. We would draw like dicks.
Yeah.
Cock and balls.
Cock and balls. The two circles, boom. I'm like, yo, it's been around for a long time.
Yeah, dude. Or they were smart and they saw visions of spaceships.
So the guy that we have, this guy Francesco, great guy. Mm-hmm. He was one of my favorite guys out of all the tours I took while I was there. He was like, he's like a silly guy, like a dad joke.
I like this guy.
Laugh at his own jokes kind of guy.
Right. You got an Alexis?
And this guy, this guy said, "Mamma mia." Probably about 4,000 times in this tour. I'm not even exaggerating.
Never got old to him,
he
bro.
Said, these are the two words he said all the time. He said, "Fantastico, mamma mia." Like, every time we saw a dick, he'd be like, "Look at this, fantastico," right? But he would be so happy to display. He'd be like, "Hey, look at this. There's another one."
Were they like super long?
No.
Heavy in the ballpark?
No, I mean, look, they looked as bad as... you know, 2,000-year-old penis would look like. I mean, nice. If you think of, you know, the artwork 2,000 years ago, I mean, there were only a couple goats. You know what I mean? They weren't. We didn't have some of the Basquiat. Really, we didn't have Basquiat back then.
You know, Picasso wasn't walking around hitting. Leonardo da Vinci wasn't hitting.
Hey, guys, look at this big dong.
It's not even symmetrical.
Some were larger than others, but none of them were...
what I've always wanted to talk about on the podcast.
None of them were larger than about, I don't know, a foot. I would say a foot and a half. It wasn't too crazy.
But you know, like the Statue of David, everyone says, like, how come these old statues, they all got like tiny dongs?
Yeah.
Because apparently that was a sign of like intelligence. The longer you're the dick on a statue, the more like barbaric the person would have been.
Okay.
Imagery wise.
Sure.
So, look at you. You're an intellect. I mean.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I should be a Mensa.
I mean, this kid, dude. He's a goddamn. You should have a graduation cap on the show.
So that was another thing. Around Italy, you would see, I saw this in Naples, I saw this in Rome. There were aprons. I don't know if you ever seen the aprons at like all these like little shops, and it would be a naked dude with a massive wang, like a picture of a like, but
so
a real
it looks
picture.
Like a guy holding.
Right.
This isn't Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
So I did not know that penises were this popular in Italy.
Yeah, well, it's Italy.
Okay.
I mean,
just saying, you learn something every day,
but it just goes to show just how weird our country is. We're like, God forbid you show even a woman's chest. Meanwhile,
no,
they got dongs on their houses.
Bro, yeah, it is.
Maybe that's where the term ding dong comes from.
Ding dong ditch? You gotta
Hey, slow down. No reason to ditch. Hit the like button if this is what you expect.
Please hit the like button. We have the last thing I'll say about Italy, and maybe we'll
Christopher Appleby, who changed his name back from Christopher Appleby, said there's nothing like showing up in the middle of a Cooligan Street. This is exactly what everyone expects.
So, where was it?
You hit him in the penis.
Okay, so obviously.
That means that's how you knock on the door. The knocker. That was used to be balls, dude.
So, the last thing I'll say, and we're going to do a no cap recap this weekend, and we'll go into more detail, especially. But I made a huge mistake. This is my one regret. In Italy, what? And this is my soccer, my calcio error, my calcio mistake. So, I went to Milan.
You got a red card? This is your red card right here.
I two-footed Maradona. I really made a huge mistake. Went to Milan. I went from Lake Como to Milan. We stayed in Milan for two nights. It was lovely. We took the train from Milan to Napoli, and
it was what, like 4 hours?
It's like 4 hours. Bullet train, lovely. I mean, it's another just shining example of how the U.S. completely...
What infrastructure really looks like.
It was just so easy to get around.
You took the Amtrak from Boston to D.C. You're like, I was scared for my life.
So, took the train, and when I was in Milan, on the way to the train, what I wore to the train was an AC Milan kit.
Oof.
I was just like, all right, this is a nice shirt. I'm in Milan. Let me wear my AC Milan kit that my brother got me when he was in Italy years ago.
Right.
I'm an AC Milan fan. I just wore the kit. Everybody was like, nice kit, blah, blah, blah. And got on the train. I was tired. You know, I was still kind of jet lagged. Get on the train.
Napoli, there's just people holding knives.
Get out.
They heard. As you passed Rome, they heard you were coming.
I get out in Napoli wearing this AC Milan.
For those of you who don't know, Napoli is like gutter. It's like hardcore.
It's everybody. You were saying that to me.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It is a little bit. Look, I'll say it's a little more. You know, it's working class than Milan.
It's got Newark vibes.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Okay, but I respect it. It was a place in Italy that I went to that I was like, and I even texted her. I was like, yo, I got to come back here. Feels like real Italy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Compared to the posh Milan or whatever. Right.
Milan is their Fifth Ave.
Right, right.
It's a fashion capital.
I get out in Napoli. I'm so tired. I don't even remember what I'm wearing.
You're like, these people seem friendly. They're all staring at me.
I love your language.
The spitting at my feet, I don't get. But everything else seems pretty welcoming.
But I get out. And I'm like, initially I'm looking to take the trains. The trains are pretty accessible there. So I'm like, oh, it was a little bit difficult. There was only like a bus to go to our hotel. So I was like, let's take a cab. Get to the cab line. And immediately.
That's where you knew that's where it was going to go.
Literally, in Napoli, all the cab drivers, they have a system where there's no like person that works for the train station that directs all the passengers to a taxi.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like one of the taxi drivers gets out and it's like, then he does the job and he directs everybody. But this time it was like maybe six guys. I get up to the front of the line. The guys are just like, what are you wearing? I mean, like, they don't even speak English. And they're like, what is this?
Yeah.
They're just so mad at me
that
I'm wearing this AC Milan kit.
It's real. This is real shit.
I'm like, and I'm not even exaggerating. Like, it's not like mad like I'm in danger, but mad like, why would you do this to us?
Yeah.
Why would you do this?
But people are going to see you in my car.
Yeah, 100%. So as soon as I get there, first guy, he... shows his muscle, like he shows his bicep, and it says like 18 whatever blue
and all that.
Now then another guy's like shows me his leg. All the cab drivers showing me
there's like bullet holes, and you're like yeah. So we're walking into this.
I'm asking the guy. I'm like, oh, I need to go to this hotel. He's like. I mean, it was like none of them wanted my money.
Yeah.
None of them wanted to take me.
It's like dressing like the owners of PSG in Alabama. You know what I'm talking about? Like the white.
Oh, sure. You know what I mean? Like a chic or whatever.
Look, you seem like a nice guy, but I can't have you in my car. What's everyone else going to say?
JK Tritt said Napoli, the Nork of Italy.
Let's go. I've been saying that forever.
They were going to say Christian almost swam with the fishes. So this one dude finally agreed to take me.
Christian almost swam with the fish.
he finally agreed to take me. He's like, all right, fine. And then I go put my luggage in the car. He shows me he has a bumper sticker. It says Napoli on it.
Yeah.
We finally get in. And then before he gets in, he's like, it's going to be it's going to be 25. It's normally like 15 euro. He's like, it's going to be 25 euro because you're wearing that shirt. And I'm like, all right, bro. Like, at this point, I just need to get.
And that's not even illegal.
Not even arguing with you. I don't want no problems. Like, at this point, I'm kidnapped by this guy. And then I get in. He
puts a blanket over you.
He's like, you're not going to see your wife. Until you take that shirt off. On the dash. Just Maradona stickers all over.
Yeah.
And you see that? He goes, he points at the thing. He's like, you see that? Dio. Yeah. Dio. Dio. He keeps going. And I'm
she said, that's my podcast host dad.
So I'm just like, yeah, I know. I'm like, look, I'm not an AC Milan fan. And I'm trying to explain to him. And
does he understand a little bit of English?
He understands a little bit. Like, I would say most of the cab drivers kind of, that I would say pretty much everybody had a pretty good working grasp of English.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't that difficult to get around. And knowing Spanish.
Not like Japan at all.
No, not at all.
So, like, we've never heard this tongue before.
Some people spoke Spanish. Even at the Vatican, I met a Dominican dude. Spoke. He's lived in Italy for 15 years. He spoke English, Spanish, French, Italian, Portuguese, German, and Polish.
You met a Dominican spy,
bro. this dude was like straight up tigre, like tight clothes, the whole thing,
silk shirt,
and the most like eloquently, like just spoke every language. I saw him speaking to all these different people because they were trying to, he was like a tour guide, and he was explaining to people how to get places. It was unbelievable. So
the Dominican cadence is very similar to like Southern Italian too, so that probably works.
Okay.
You know how like Southern Italian, it's a very sing-songy.
It was unbelievable. So the dude,
I gotta meet a Dominican who speaks German. I gotta do it.
So the dude finally, like, again, he didn't speak English very well, but when he dropped us off at the hotel, I took off. I'm telling him, I'm like, hey, look, when I get here, I'm not wearing this shirt. I'm taking it off. And he, in fluent English, he goes, burn it.
That's what an experience in Italy should have been.
That was the realest moment I experienced.
What
was
Helene thinking this whole time?
She was a little
nervous laughter.
No, she, I mean, because she doesn't, like, she didn't understand Italian as much as I did.
Right.
Like, not that I understand much, but I speak Spanish. I understood the vibe that the dude was giving off.
Yeah. Tones changed.
She was more concerned, like, why is he charging us $10 more? Like, that was her.
Because we're showing up alive.
But I got you a gift, actually.
No.
From Napoli.
Oh, I didn't get you a gift from the country burning.
But look at this. I got.
Oh, my dad.
These are. Maradona socks.
Look at this.
Maradona was, and it says Dios with the 10 in the middle. I mean, look, this, the dude, there was Maradona merch. I mean, absolutely everywhere. I know that he is a legend.
Right.
And I've seen it, you know, from the documentary and it, like the stuff from Argentina. But being there, the dude, I mean, this man is still alive. I mean, alive and well. He is doing just fine.
That is so dope. Have you been to San Giannopoli, the restaurant on Houston?
No.
It's owned by a guy from Naples. It's a pizza place. And literally, the waiters wear number 10 shirts. They had Napoli kits, like t-shirts. There's Maradona everywhere. There's Maradona kits everywhere. Like, I think he has every kit, Sevilla, all of them. Every one that he's ever worn, he has up. It's absolutely crazy, but it gives you an idea of like what Naples is actually like.
Totally, totally. That is crazy. But I loved it. Italy was great. I can't wait to be back. It was. I had a great time. Maybe to catch a Serie A game. Now I want to go to a Napoli game. I want to see these guys.
Look at this. Football was born in the late 18th century and is currently the most popular sport in most countries of the world. One of the most important figures in football history for his talent and personality, that's a great way to put it, is certainly Diego Armando Maradona, El Piba de Oro, who always has been number 10, the number 10 strongest in the world. That was a weird sentence. But
okay.
Beautiful.
All right. So let's get to, now that we've recapped my trip.
A hefty 35 minutes into our show. Let's talk about football.
Let's obviously, should we start with Gareth Bale?
So did you think, obviously, Gareth Bale signs with LAFC.
Wow.
Wild. Somebody put this up. Hablo Football, the Cuban dude. Who is a soccer streamer?
Uh-huh.
He put this up. He put a picture up of Gareth Bale with a golf bag, and he said, "People might not know this, but Los Angeles has the highest concentration of golf course per capita, Southern California, than anywhere else in the United States."
Mm.
Which I was like, "Wow, shots fired!" For a Cuban guy who keeps it mostly positive, this is real shots fired at Gareth Bale. But even on the thumbnail, I chose a picture of him playing golf because that's kind of what everyone assumes he's going for. We talked about how Chiellini might not be able to handle the travel and the, you know, the heat that's asked of you to handle at a place like in MLS. How do you think Gareth Bale's going to do?
I think he is. First of all, I'm wondering where he's going to play, because it seems like Carlos Vela and him play pretty much the same position at right wing. So
you don't think it's going to be wherever Gareth Bale wants? He's not a DP though. So Carlos Vela is still the leader of this team.
But Gareth Bale has to, the only reason he's going to LAFC is because he knows he's going to get playing time.
Yeah. Well, no, that's not the only reason.
No, I'm just saying, but that's a huge factor.
They could have made him part owner. He wouldn't go to Minnesota United. He wouldn't go to FC Cincinnati. You know what I mean?
I think.
No disrespect.
I think he is, I'd be shocked if he didn't do well. That's my honest feeling.
But is he gonna care?
Look, he's we're gonna actually see him play. That'll be he didn't have that luxury at Real Madrid.
Is he going to care?
I think so. I think he stayed around at Real Madrid. Maybe because of the money, he had no reason to want to leave. USC went on loan to Tottenham.
They were playing chicken.
Yeah, went to Tottenham. He did all right. I mean, you know, tried his best out there. I don't. Would you say that he didn't care while he was on loan at Tottenham?
There were times there, like when he did the interview, that he was like, "Yeah, so I'm here and I'm glad to be back for a little bit, and I can't wait to get back to Real Madrid." There were times where I looked at it and I said, "It doesn't feel like the kid's home." You know what I mean? It feels like he's stopping by.
Right.
It's like, you know, your son stopped by to do laundry. He ain't really here. He forgot it's your birthday. You know what I mean?
Like I said, I think I'd be surprised if he didn't do well. I saw there was somebody, where am I forgetting his name? He works in soccer, but apologies, I can't remember his name. But he basically said it'd be hilarious if Gareth Bale does terribly in MLS, but then knocks out the U.S. in the World Cup.
Yeah, that was Zach Goldman.
Zach, yeah. Super funny. But I do think it would be... I think it'd be quite a shock if he does not do well, and especially on a team that's already very good. I don't think he's going to ruin LAFC. I wonder where he's going to play. I think.
What's your over under on goals and assists?
Look,
which will be asked of him.
Yes. I think
I'm interested to see what happens on free kicks.
Yeah, who takes them?
Carlos Vela is pretty skilled at them.
Yeah, but you got to go with Bale. I mean, that's the last
also,
couple.
Does Carlos Vela care? You know what I mean? He'd be like, whatever.
Well, Vela's in the middle of figuring out his situation. I think he's going to be signing a new deal soon with LAFC. But I was saying before, Vela played over the weekend. He played at striker, and Opoku played at right wing. So I'm assuming that'll be the situation.
You got to move Vela to the number nine. You have to,
right? Which I don't know. I don't think is his best spot.
But at least he's on the pitch.
Right. So
and also Gareth Bale, he's better at striker than Gareth Bale would be at striker.
I agree.
So you're both going to get the max out of the two of them by putting them in that situation. And also Carlos Vela will be able to glide a little bit to the right and still be able to use his left foot to maximum.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be the
when I've played FIFA as LAFC, I always move Carlos Vela to striker and I put Latif Blessing at the right. Because I feel like he gives me a bit more pace on the right side.
Okay, and I'm sure this is what Steve Cherundolo is doing.
Called me and he was like, "Yo, dude,
where you playing him in FIFA?
How would you do this?" I'm like, "I'm glad you asked, Stefan."
So this is the Bale. We're gonna say, Bale's not even taking a DP spot. I mean, they get Chiellini, and Gareth Bale,
and neither of them are
designated players. And for anybody who doesn't know what a designated player is, we got our own rules here in Major League Soccer. I think we work a little bit different.
We advanced the rules of the sport. You guys created.
Okay. This still gives the opportunity for LAFC to get another huge signing in a designated player, which would be amazing. But Gareth Bale's specific role there, I think it's two things. I think it's obviously for what goals and assists. He has he's going to have 6 months with LAFC. His deal is for a year and a half?
The rest of the year.
I
thought it was just the rest of the year.
I don't know how long it's for, but just for the rest of the year, you would expect at least I would expect 7 to 8 goals from Bale and
how many assists?
probably around the same, somewhere around the same. I think 7-7.
That's a strong half a year.
Yeah, I think that's a good for his
I think
quality.
If we see more than 3 goals and 5 assists, I'd be shocked.
He's 32, but the dude hasn't. He's played like 6 games in 5 years.
Yeah,
the dude is.
He's well rested. Yeah,
he's totally fine.
Yeah.
So I expect
golf doesn't take it out of you. That's really most of his physical activity. He's been golfing, training.
Right. Unless you're like Tiger Woods and taking steroids and all that.
Everybody knows. Kid loves a good pill, you know. What's that's a lot of allocation money. How many gully bucks do you think it would be? About 17 billion. Christian, imagine your Everton escaping relegation only to be able to sign Winks.
Okay, I'll wink at that. Look, I mean, yeah, we'll get to Everton's transfer saga and Arsenal as well, because Arsenal did
we're doing good business. Early.
I don't. What's early?
Not old Arsenal would be like the day before the window closes.
Arsenal, Fabrizio Romano announced.
We got a here we go, which is about as.
That's it. You want a here we go. You get
it. Does that not feel official now? You know what I mean? Do we need the club to have a picture of them holding the kit? Once you get a here we go.
Fabrizio Romano is the that's the social media teams go through Fabrizio.
Even other people tweet here we go.
Yeah, it's become
like as a Fabrizio.
Can he trademark that? Is that it's not trademarkable.
Like the guy was like, "Let's get ready to that
right,
guy?
Right. Can is Fabrizio at that point where when you hear here we go that you think of him? Like Paris Hilton did that's hot. Remember?
I did not know.
And she did trademark that. And like so all
that.
The merch so stuff like that. But it happens once you have a saying that's popular enough and everybody knows.
Yeah,
that
if it's your catchphrase, you should be able to.
Right.
Yeah.
So Fab. I mean, just
so
putting it out
should
there.
Should we trademark? Get in here, fuck around a little bit.
Get in here and fuck around a little bit, because everybody's using it. And when somebody says it and they're not, you know, paying us a small royalty.
If we had this, we'd have had like $7-8 right now.
You all know it.
Right? Okay. You were talking about it. You talk about it amongst yourselves. Fabrizio is starting to lose credibility. He's recycling information. What?
Who said that?
This is in England. And that's Eagle Eye Football. This is what happens in England. They don't want someone else shining. Fabrizio Romano's Italian, right?
Yeah.
They don't want him shining, so they start chipping away. This is what they do.
I'm ruining his credibility.
First of all, he's always repeated what other people, and he tags them. Gareth Bale, he tagged Tom Bogart.
Yeah. If somebody else.
He should have changed the name to Bogart. Now that I think about it, bro.
Like Humphrey?
Like Humph?
Okay. Real quick. Arsenal, we know Gabriel Jesus. The announcement should be coming any day now.
The first announcement was Fabio Vieira, which is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watched him since the announcement. And let me tell you, based on YouTube.
I don't know that.
Based on YouTube, he's looking good. Also got he's a F. Vieira. So, I mean, a P. He's Pablo. Pablo Vieira? Pablo Vieira.
We don't.
He's a P. Vieira. Spelled exactly the same way as Patrick Vieira. I'm down for it. Then, of course, our homie. Or legitimately our homie.
Very much so.
Bro. Someone we can text right now plays for Arsenal.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty surreal that we've gotten this far.
And you know what I love? In the welcome video, they put him in Arsenal kits throughout his life because the dude is a gooner.
Yes, he is. That video that's obviously been going around.
Right.
The one of his last game for the New England Revolution. We're talking about Matt Turner, goalkeeper.
Yeah. Matt Turner, goalkeeper
for Arsenal for the
pride of Northern New Jersey. Okay. Tellingham gang. So let's go.
Pride of Park Ridge. That's where I live.
Uh-huh.
Two
things are proud of now.
So the what you call it? When his last game for the Revolution. Remember,
right, he did a little goodbye.
He was autographing shirts for people.
He hit the skirt on a Tottenham fan.
There was a young lady wearing a Tottenham kit asking.
And she goes, "Oh, why not?" Like she was like, "Oh, why?" Like she was sweet, and he goes, "That's disgusting."
My man,
I told you, my guy was just waiting for the big check to reveal his true jerseyness. You feel me?
My man hit him with the "That's disgusting,"
bro.
Would not sign. It was his own kit too.
Yeah.
But it was a Tottenham fan holding it. I can't be seen.
You can't have this autograph, dog. In fact, stop touching my jersey. You getting Tottenham all over.
Yo, I'm going to talk to the ticket agent that sold you a ticket to this game because they shouldn't have allowed you in here.
Bro, don't put Spursy all over my jersey. Jersey. And it rhymes.
Here's the...
people saw it. I mean, like 3 weeks ago.
Just having it up there. Him saying, no. I mean, look, this is pretty badass for someone to do this.
This isn't badass. I think this is the appropriate energy you want. I think this is also New England Revolution's first... real to get like 3 million views.
Okay.
But so shouts to Willie who does all their social media. But this is what you want to see as an Arsenal fan. You're like, oh, this dude is for real a gooner.
Yeah, it was quite impressive. And I wonder if he would have signed it, do you think that the talk is or you know under the comments of this of his announcement, do you think that you see this video with him signing this kit for this Tottenham fan and then people being like, oh, he's not really blah blah blah. You think that would be a thing?
No, because I don't think this would have made the rounds.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think this made the rounds because he denied the autograph.
Sure.
But I think that's who he is.
Yeah.
If I was put in this position where Arsenal was buying me, and what a terrible situation that means they're in, I would do the exact same thing even before that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like when we hosted the NYC footy tournament, I shit on the one dude wearing the Tottenham kit like 4 times. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just what we do.
Yeah. Look, it's being an Arsenal fan. This is it just seems to be part of it. I mean,
have beef with Tottenham.
There's no other.
You know the story about Patrick Vieira, right? He came. Arsene Wenger called him and said, I need you to be a part of the team. And he said, wherever you go, I'll follow. Obviously, they said that in French. He didn't understand English, right?
Yeah.
So he gets to the club. The club situates him with a house, a car. Like they tell him, like, here's where you want to live, this area. Here are the cars you can have that, you know, are good to own in England or whatever. And they give him a tutor. They give him a tutor to teach him how to speak English. This is the head of Tottenham the head of Arsenal at the time, revealed this story. A couple weeks later, he goes down there and he goes to the locker room and he sees Patrick and he says, hey, how are you doing with your, in French, he says, how are you doing with your English? And he said, in French, it's very good. I've learned my first words already. And he goes, oh, what did you learn? And he goes, Tottenham are shit. That was the first thing he learned in English.
And it's like a baby's first words.
I mean, if I can, I don't have a kid, but if they said that, I'd be like, I'd hold them up like Simba forever. That's what you want as an Arsenal fan.
Yeah. So look, it's...
Also, did you see the video where he showed up and he's talking to Frimpong? Frimpong already did a video with him.
I did not.
He's like, oh, what's up, Frimmy? And Frimpong was like, oh, you watch.
Look at that.
He's like, yeah, I've seen a couple things.
No, dude, you're going to see Matt Turner on Arsenal Fan TV soon.
Let's go. Just talking mad shit.
It's going to be great. He's going to fit in quite nicely. Nah, super happy for him. And you know, when we had Matt Turner on the show, you can go back to old podcasts. Just look up Matt Turner and the Cooligans. And he did our show. He was like one of our first guests at the beginning of the pandemic. He was super down to earth, super cool.
Super cool.
And then every time we saw him at the MLS All-Star game, just shows love all the time. Just a really, really good dude. And it's just great. You know, if you don't know his story, he like literally didn't start playing soccer, football till he was like 16.
Yeah.
He was like a baseball player and then got into it and a total late bloomer. And for him to
also really good at basketball, which you could see in his ability to sort of make some of those like really theatrical dives at saves. You know, the guy played a lot of other American sports, so his hand-eye coordination is at a different level than probably most goalkeepers you'll find. His agility is at a different level because he didn't start to sort of develop as a goalkeeper until, like you said, he was 16, 17 years old.
Yeah, so happy for him, man. I'm wishing
to go from Park Ridge, New Jersey, which, you know, I never heard of it until he moved there. You know, to go from that's dead ass. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, I think they lied to you, dog. You don't live in Jersey. To go from Park Ridge as a kid all the way to Arsenal, his favorite club. Think about that rise. Shouts to Matt Turner. That's got to be
And now the question is, do you think he unseats Ram?
So there's a lot of conversation amongst Arsenal fans that after Aaron Ramsdale came back from his injury, he wasn't the same keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Leno looks like he's gone. I don't know if that deal's finalized.
No, it's not. But
looks like Matt Turner, even if that's not the case, will be the number two.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, he's going to get a lot of starts, Carabao Cup, things like that.
This isn't the first American to... No, obviously, he's not the first American. Or USMNT player. Is this the first USMNT player to play for Arsenal?
This is only the second American ever to play for the men's national team. I'm sorry, to play for Arsenal.
Play for Arsenal.
I actually had lunch with the first the other day. Danny Carbacioun was in town.
Oh, yeah.
I now hang out with Danny Carbacioun. You know how crazy that is?
Our lives have taken very strange
what
turns.
What a wild turn. Dude, I the whole time I was like, I didn't realize we went to this dope bar. He was staying downtown, and it was like kind of in an area. There's not a lot going on. He was like, yo, let's have lunch. And I was like, I can't believe he asked me. And I was like, oh, my God. All right. I'm going to have to hide my boner. Whatchamacallit. So I find a place that's kind of nice, but it has like regular food. Like, it's good food, but it's like a really high-end burger. They got like, you know, house-made tots. It's like really high-end food. They had a fried skate sandwich, which is so dope. Really incredible. Great place. But it was like a good bar, and I was like, I don't know if this guy's, he's in England now. I don't know if he wants to drink at noon. You know what I mean? If he wants to pound beers at noon, because everyone in England has a drinking problem. So maybe he's developed that. Sorry, English person who just stared at me. y'all don't see it as a drinking problem. The rest of the world does.
And honestly, that's the rest of the world's problem. Nah.
You
why are you
the vibes?
Why are you misdiagnosing us?
Yeah. So I hit up this bar. I'm like, yo, it's great food. He goes, I just don't want to eat like American like style, like too much. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, of course not. I was like, in fact, the fried skate sounds good. The burger I know is great. Why don't we go half and half? He's like, all right. I go, also, we'll take the crudité plate. We'll take the salad. We'll take the tots. We'll take a bunch of sides. He's like, what? I go, what? No. It's like two of them are salad, two of them are vegetables. Everything else is deep fried. And he's just like, my God, we're eating the whole time. The whole time I'm like, hey, you know what you should do right now, dude? You should totally FaceTime Arson. I was like, yo, just FaceTime Arson. And I didn't realize this. There was like a British, like a nice, super posh British family meeting the daughter's American boyfriend for the first time. And I kept saying, yo, FaceTime Arson. And I'm not saying banger, I'm saying Arson. And I pull up a video. I go, oh, look at the food, Danny Carbacioun, blah, blah, blah. I go, yo, real quick, FaceTime Arson banger. And the dad goes, I knew it. He said it. So when I stopped video, I was like, what's going on? He's like, do you work for Arsenal Football Club? And I was like, no, I don't. I was like, neither does he. We're just joking around. He goes, oh, okay. And he just went back to his conversation. I was like, oh, shit.
What other Arson? Is it Arson Jones?
I also said Wenger. No, Arson Theodore Wenger. He's my accountant.
Good guy. I give you his card if you want.
No. You misheard me. I said Barson.
Jamal said that no chance in hell and heaven. Oh man, he's bringing both sides.
Ramsdale. Look, all I'm going to say is I think Aaron Ramsdale should be our number one. I love him. I think he's incredible, but I can see it.
That's the thing. The one thing I would say is when it comes to the goalkeeper crazability rankings, you know, goalkeepers just are built a little bit different.
They're maniacs.
Aaron Ramsdale is high on that list of all Premier League goalkeepers. One of the most rambunctious, flamboyant.
But also, like, his vibes are so different than everyone else's. Like, yeah. He wants to be like, woo, he wants to mix it up with the fans, you know what I mean?
He's just an intense guy
Did you see the one, what is it? I think it was the championship playoff. I forgot where it was. Oh, no. This was Australia versus Peru. Peruvian goalkeeper took a swig of his water and looked down and he saw
Pulpo.
He saw his information. He put it down. The Australian goalkeeper, who apparently that was his first start. He's not.
He wasn't. He didn't. He was subbed before penalties.
That's what it was. Okay. Yeah. I knew he wasn't like the regular.
Yeah.
He saw that. Threw it into the stands and just as he walked by. The vibes, dude.
Bro.
That's Aaron Ramsdale.
That's the Aaron Ramsdale. Yeah, Aaron Ramsdale School of Penalty Kicks.
100%. He watched a couple Aaron Ramsdale training
and
videos.
And the dude was dancing. Remember, he was dancing in goal. Yeah. I mean, it was because of the dancing I wanted Australia to lose. You know, props to Ellie Menjam. I mean, it's just, every time certain countries are playing, I think of my friends that are attached to these countries.
Worst.
Right?
It's the worst.
But obviously, Alexander Collins, for Peru, the center back.
Sean Pujarroen said, anytime Christian has to get Alexis back on track, we do.
What a game.
The English are going to die if you play that game with the way you drink naturally.
Obviously I was rooting for NYCFC's Alex Collins. He made his penalty, hurt for Peru.
J.K. Tritt said, wait a minute, how many of you aren't drinking during the stream?
It was tough to see for Peru, but that was a wild, that dancing goalkeeper. Yeah. He's probably never going to really play He's just going to come in for penalties and be a clown. And it's just like annoying.
And he's good at that.
Yeah, it's like annoying that he was successful.
You got to have a thing. You know what I mean? Like when I was a kid, they used to tell us when we played football, like you should practice long snaps.
Okay.
Because like, no one ever does it. So if you're a long snapper, odds are you will get in the NFL and you don't have to work as hard, blah, blah, blah. Like they used to tell us that when we played football.
And damn, I was like, they lied to your face, bro. Telling you're going to make it in the NFL.
I was like, Brian, Ben, you think I got that kind of flexibility?
Yo, SCOTUS is going to take away this ability. I won't even be able to be a long snapper.
By the time I get there, it'll be illegal. Short snaps only, bro. I need to see hands on them ball sacks. Goalkeeper dark arts. Shout out to all the goalkeeper. Anyway, shouts to Matt Turner. Gabriel Jesus, looks like the deal's done. I'm excited. Somebody in the chat said, do you think he can be a pure number nine? I think so because of there were two styles of nines that we were linked with, right? The Vlahovic style, which is like your big center forward target man.
Yeah.
And then your more like wily kind of number nines. Can maybe play a false nine, a bit more creative with his feet. Also good with the link up, but not going to play with their back to goal like a Gabriel Jesus. And I think we kind of got the guy that from all rumors is this is the guy they wanted. As soon as Vlahovic said he was done, they're like, you know what? We didn't want that kind of nine anyway. Let's go get someone who fits in our system a bit more. And what I love about it, whether we get Rafinha or not, let's just say it's a Millsmith Rowe, Gabriel Jesus, and Saka. These guys can interchange.
Meaning positions?
Yeah. Throughout the match, they could swap. They could confuse defenders. It's going to be incredible to watch. I think it's going to be really incredible to watch.
I think the...
And just Eddie Nketiah, which any injury or anything like that, this guy's going to have to come in. So.
Is the upgrade from Lacazette to Jesus... I don't see it as a huge jump in quality.
It's such an overwhelming jump. I don't know how. Like, it's like Goodison and Anfield.
Because I think Gabriel Jesus benefited from playing at Manchester City.
In what way?
The people.
I'm not saying
The service was incredible.
And you don't think he's going to
get... 5-star.
You don't think he's going to get similar service? First of all,
no.
The guy barely played.
No.
The guy barely played. You
wouldn't
think he's gonna
say,
get similar
I would say barely.
You're going to disrespect Martin Odegaard to my face?
I think...
On his birthday. It's not his birthday.
I think Lacazette's ability to hold the ball up, I think he's a better hold-up guy than Jesus.
He played center forward. He was just, he ended up becoming a target man.
Right. And I think that it suits Arsenal a little bit better.
They played well with Aubameyang, right?
They played well, and Giroud.
Hold on,
you know, Giroud
would have been much better than Lacazette, but we didn't have him. But anyway, Giroud's gone. He won trophies with Chelsea against us. We no longer count him as gorgeous as he is. He's not part of the team. But Aubameyang played well offensively. What was his biggest issue? He didn't want to track back. When he did track back, the team played better. Those 9 matches that he decided to track back, we played well. Gabriel Jesus tracks back.
Yeah.
We're going to be fine.
Okay.
And now we got Vieira in there, who's way more of an attacking threat than I think Odegaard wants to be. Odegaard wants to set up more.
Okay.
Odegaard wants to distribute more. He's going to be given that chance. We're going to have Vieira that's able to run. I mean, it's going to be a beautiful thing.
I love the optimism.
I think we're going to go invincible again, dude. No. I honestly think...
The delusion is wild in the offseason. It's beautiful.
Getting a player of Gabriel Jesus' quality with a team that we already have, which finished 5th, barely missing out on 4th, puts us in position to now compete for 3rd or 4th.
Okay. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. I think it's I think he's going to have a successful time at Arsenal. Individually, I think he'll be fine. I'm still concerned about is this the difference that's going to put Arsenal in Champions League? And
yes.
I think it's more to do than just bringing in a number 9. I think there were issues outside of that. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know how anyone can look at this and not say they are right now at least the 3rd best team in the league. I don't know how you can see that.
I wouldn't say that.
Who else?
3rd? You're going to say 3rd?
Say who else? I'm giving City and Liverpool their respect.
And
who
then else? Arsenal's next?
Who else?
I don't know. I feel like Tottenham is just above.
You saw they just about finished 4th, and who have they signed?
They haven't signed anybody yet.
So they got the same exact squad.
Okay.
You tell me Gabriel Jesus doesn't give us
Chelsea? Chelsea's ahead.
Chelsea's falling apart. Everyone's leaving. leaving. Petr Cech just left.
Yeah.
They're talking about signing Cristiano Ronaldo.
That was a funny one.
So hold on a second. People want to leave Chelsea. Chelsea is falling apart. Their owner's gone. They got this guy Boehly. They're not getting the players they want. You don't think... If right now we're talking about, I'll give Chelsea some respect, but I think they're hurting right now. It's going to be between us and Tottenham for who gets third, right?
Okay.
Right now, as is situated right now on this Monday, you don't think getting a player like Gabriel Jesus puts us at least 6 points better than we finished last season?
I'm fine with that. Then we're in third. Okay. I mean, all right. That I won't argue there.
And sure, Tottenham will have Conte for an entire
Yves.
Basuma
from Brighton. Perisic, yeah.
So they got a guy who should be in jail and Perisic.
What did Basuma do?
A ton of sexual assault cases against him.
Really? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
He was untouchable. That's why his value dropped so much.
Oh, okay. Well.
I know in England you're not allowed to talk about these things until like the court decides. Like,
illegal. But obviously it affects your transfer fee.
But yeah, in America we're allowed to talk about it.
Okay, who else?
Chelsea offered Pulisic for De Ligt. Pulisic and like 40 million. It was like no joke.
Yeah, he's not. We don't think Pulisic is leaving.
I think he took Chelsea out of his bio.
He did do that. I did see that. But there's no way he leaves. Right? They won't let him go. Maybe he would want to go.
I think he leaves.
I think he clearly wants to play.
I think he would have gotten a Bayern if it wasn't for Sadio Mane signing. I think a lot of their funds are dry.
Chelsea's trying to get rid of Hakim Ziyech. So that would open up, obviously a lot more playing time for Pulisic.
Fans are kind of, shouts to Rory, Rory Jennings. You guys may know him from his YouTube channel or The Kickoff. He's the homie. I gave him a little bit of stick. He was like, Chelsea need to swoop in and steal this deal from Arsenal. There's no way Gabriel Jesus, a man of that quality, is going to Arsenal when we're the best team in London. We have Champions League and we can't sign these players. And I'm just laughing and laughing and laughing. And also knowing that both Gabriel Jesus and Rafinha said no to Tottenham. Let's go. And I'll give my homie credit. My homie was a Tottenham fan who was like, well, I don't think either one of those players start, right? Because you're not going to unseat Kane and you're not going to unseat Son, which is true. But then why are you trying to buy these players?
Okay.
Is it that you're fearful that they're leaving, maybe?
Okay.
And I cannot wait for Son and Kane to leave because y'all going back to the slums, my joke. Tottenham, they said no to Tottenham. Like, it feels like we're back. Arsenal's back. We're signing players early.
Because they're
big name players, and people are saying no to Tottenham.
Just getting rejected.
Bro, I feel like we're back.
Another thing I wanted to talk about.
Wait, hold on. Brush said, Jesus is a quality player, but let's keep some perspective. He's never been the main guy. Let's see how he handles that. Yo, he chose Arsenal when he probably could have gone to a Champions League club because he wanted to be the guy. So already you should be, if you're an Arsenal supporter, you should be excited about that part of it. He specifically was like, no, I want to be the guy. I'm not just here to collect a check.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think he's going to play. I think he'll play well. I think Arsenal
15 goals, 12 assists. That's the over-under. What do you think?
That is player of the year type.
Not really.
That's pretty good. I mean.
That's a good player, but that's not
Kevin De Bruyne got player of the season or whatever. It's not MVP. What is it called?
I don't know. Best chap of the year.
Lord of the Premier League.
Lad of the week. What is he?
But Kevin De Bruyne won it.
Geyser of the year. What do they call him? Geyser of the year. Geyser of the year is a very different award. And let me tell you something. If you Google it, you're going to get it.
They give that at the AVN Awards. Yeah. Right? That's a big one.
It's, a lot of footballers are there, though. So.
Okay. They do have a wet zone in the brand. Yeah.
It's like going to the Blue Man Group. You know, the show where the guy smashes the watermelons.
What's his name? I forgot his name. Anyway.
What's his name?
Gallagher.
Gallagher.
I was going to say Godfrey. I'm like, this is a completely different guy. Brush said 15 goals is a reasonable expectation.
You're starting number 9. 15 goals and 12 assists is the over-under. Let us know in the chat. Let's do a poll.
Okay. PFA Player of the Year. There it is. Okay. The but while you're doing that, put up the poll. I obviously got to make sure we give a shout out to OSNYC for welcoming us again. Literally dopest gaming space here in New York City. If you are ever around in New York and want to either play some PlayStation, Nintendo Switch, some classic arcade games, have a couple drinks, it's seriously one of the dopest spots in the city. So come through.
Poll is up. Let us know what you think. 15 goals, 12 assists for Gabriel Jesus.
David Day said, chop of the pitch. That's a great one.
Oh my God.
Okay. Omar Ramirez, Duke of the Premier League. Great. These really should be the name.
Why are we being asked by the Premier League to come up with these things?
You already have a monarchy. The branding is great.
JK Triplett, a stinky geyser.
Oh, yeah. This
you missed this.
I missed this.
I Googled it. It's Stinko, which is even funnier.
So what was the context of it again? I don't remember the joke.
A shin in the Italian language, the word for shin is stinky.
Okay.
Stinko. Two of them is stinky, S-T-I-N-C-H-I.
Plural, yeah.
Bro, when Lorena told me that, my brain stopped working. It only functioned in stinky bits.
Yeah, it was a great clip put together by Jamie, our editor, Jamie. So
it was
so funny.
I felt so bad that Jamie had to like go through all of that just to pull out every time I made a stinky bit. every time I made a stinky bit. I feel like I'm talking about a dog.
It sounds like you're getting potty trained. I did another stinky bit. I'm proud of myself.
All right, so far it's 50-50 over and under. Let us know. Hit the poll in the chat. Let us know what you think.
Okay.
15 goals is doable nowadays. Jesus gets no way Jesus gets 12 assists. Arsenal don't have goal scorers. LOL, says Elo Stags. Bro, you just barely stayed in the Premier League.
The 12 assists seems a lot more unlikely to me.
Y'all are crazy.
Did anyone on Arsenal even have 15 assists?
First of all,
who had double-digit assists on Arsenal Football Club last season? Saka, maybe?
I can't believe that was the first time I met your mother. Like, I thought, why do I feel like I've met her before?
No.
She told me at the wedding it was the first time I met her. I was like, no, they can't be true.
No, you haven't met my mom anywhere.
I think I have.
I'm trying to think where. No, I don't think so.
That's crazy.
Okay. You met my dad?
Uh-huh.
He was there. He was a guy.
Bruh, I barely talked to him. I wanted to say some shit, bro.
There's nothing to say.
He ain't going to hear it. I feel like y'all said it already. He ain't going to hear it.
Okay, he has that English drinking problem.
Saka scored 11 goals.
11 goals. How many assists?
7 assists.
That's the most.
You tell me you can't do less than double with Saka, the guy on the wing?
I'm saying you can't. You know, you said 12 assists.
Yes.
You think he could do more?
That's less than double.
No.
You think he can't do 12?
No.
You're crazy.
I mean, if he can get 10, I think that's money well spent.
Real quick, there's a gooner in the room. Gabriel Jesus, 12 assists, 15 goals, over under.
There we go.
So he said yes to goals, no to assists.
That's what I said.
So, okay, we have a turncoat gooner in the room. Show me the Spurs tattoo.
Okay.
By the way, over is winning, so I don't want to hear nothing.
Okay, well, you're going to have to hear a couple things. All right. This is a debate show. All right?
A nice cold brew says, got to run. Thanks for hanging out with us. Elo Stack says, y'all on drugs. Jesus doesn't get assists. He shoots every time he gets the ball. That's not going to be his position on this. That was what he was asked to do at Man City. Wait till y'all see. By the way, over is winning by even more now.
Okay. All right. What else? I wanted to talk. We have to talk a little bit about Manchester United because they're, obviously week after week we talk
they
about
ain't
how,
doing nothing. How,
no, but you were talking about Tottenham and players rejecting offers for them, but Manchester United seems like the most rejectable club right now.
They're in absolute turmoil.
I just don't. There's something. The brand is not strong.
No.
People do not want to play there.
We had this argument on the Complex show. is Manchester City a big club?
Manchester City?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Okay. So right. I say yes as well. Real quick. Sam, Manchester City a big club? He says yeah. Yes. Okay. So people were saying in our chat when we were talking about this, we talked about this first on Cooligans, you have to have a long period of success, a history of success before you're considered to be a big club. And I was like, here's a big club. Consistently in line for winning. I think they won 4 out of the 5 Premier Leagues, right? Mm-hmm. They're always in the conversation in Champions League. They get far enough. They haven't won it yet. Players want to play there.
You're right.
That all, and they're probably the number 2 or 3 played team on FIFA, right? All of this tells me you are a big club. People know who you are all over the world. Are you a bigger club than Manchester United? Probably not because of the history of Manchester United.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about right now, right now, right now, today, 2022, if you're Erling Haaland and they say, yo, 2 teams want you, Manchester City, Manchester United, he's like, get this bum across Manchester United off the table.
Damn, fluent patois, bro.
As he's eating a patty, beef patty. he's like, get them rude boy Manchester United.
No, it really does feel, you sort of feel it with the Frankie the Young stuff. Barcelona clearly...
He wants to go there, though, because of Erik ten Hag.
Right, but I don't know how much he wants to go. I don't get the sense that he desperately wants to leave Barcelona.
He wants to stay at Barcelona.
Yeah, but the financial issues that Barcelona is dealing with, it's like, yo, we get rid of this kid, balance the books a little bit, and right. It'll be really helpful. They might tell him, like, yo, bro, just accept it. Yeah, it's all good.
Why do you want to stay here?
You know, the English women are beautiful.
Oh, my God. If you squint, like, I think...
Have you been to Manchester?
Have you started drinking at 10 a.m. on the train? Because if you have, then by 3 in the afternoon...
They're really... They're trying to sell it. And, look, it is...
By the way, I should have ended the poll. Under is winning now.
No, stop the count. I was seeing this Fabrizio Romano had tweeted about the Frankie de Jong documentary. Says Manchester United are always in direct contact with Barca. The verbal proposal now discussed between clubs is around 65 million euros guaranteed after 60 million plus add-ons opening bid rejected. So once I hear that,
Barca's like, we ain't even trying to negotiate. We just need as much money as we can get.
But the last sentence here says there are still no changes on player and agent side, which says to me there's just not clarity. It doesn't say like I definitely want to go and there's no changes because he definitely wants to leave.
Right.
I think he's just I don't know if it's an issue with the fee or maybe what other signings Manchester United are going to make. I think the drama especially about this Cristiano Ronaldo possibly wanting to leave or go to Chelsea and all this other stuff.
If he goes to Chelsea, his legend gets a knock, right? Like his legend hurts a little bit.
Sure.
Right? Because imagine if he almost went to Manchester City, that would have been bad for Manchester United. You saw how they had to swoop in and stop that deal from happening.
Uh-huh.
Now him going to Chelsea, that's also got to hurt. Probably not as much as him playing for the other team in your city, but that's still got to hurt because he's playing for another Premier League team.
Right.
And one that's doing better than you. And the other thing about this Frankie de Jong thing is Rafinha is not going anywhere yet because... they need to see if this deal goes through or not.
It's one of these waiting for the dominoes to fall.
Which brings up the question whether Arsenal should be going after Rafinha or not. If he really is, if he's been saying that his dream and, you know, his goal as a footballer is to play for Barca, then if we sign him and he plays well, they're just going to come after him next year. It's going to be this saga all over again. We've done a good job of bringing in players that only want to play for Arsenal. Should we do the same thing with Rafinha? Should we not sign him for the purpose of not having to lose him, or do we sign him and then make more money when Barca comes knocking on the door?
Right. So, lost the chat on there. No big deal. It makes me think of Rafinha leaving Leeds. Calvin Phillips is also...
rumored to be going to City, or did that happen?
City, already? Yeah. I think it's we're waiting for an announcement. But losing Rafinha... And Phillips, we the stream is still good. We haven't lost anything. But losing Rafinha and Phillips tells me Leeds ain't staying up for another year. I don't know who they replace him with.
They got Brandon Aaronson. I'm sure they've got some other kids in there. But I'm excited to see what they do with with what's his face for a full season, Jesse Marsh.
Yeah, me too. But I don't think without those two guys, I don't know exactly what is. Yeah,
you know what? If you're being honest, I don't think Calvin Phillips played as well under Jesse Marsh as he did under Bielsa.
Well, he was also hurt most of the season.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't even know how many games he played for Marsh. It couldn't have been more than like four.
Is it the way he played because of the system, or is it because he was coming back from injury?
Yeah.
But I don't think Calvin Phillips is as much a loss to Leeds as Rafinha would be. Because Rafinha pretty much...
I 100% disagree. I think Calvin Phillips was the
Yeah, but they won with... They the spine. They stayed up without him.
Sure, but it wasn't a breeze.
They
cut it pretty close. Okay. Bay Raguna said Leeds need a full rebuild in the midfield. Justin Freeber said Leeds going to bring in Tati. Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about...
That's tomorrow.
We'll talk about Philadelphia Union against NYCFC. That was a wild game. And happy birthday, Justin Freeberg. Happy belated. It was his birthday yesterday, I believe.
Hey, look at this. Now you could insert an ad.
All right. Let's insert ads.
Huh? Maybe we'll do that at the end.
Okay, we should wrap up with this. I have I mentioned this before. If you guys are not a part of our Patreon and our Slack channel, you can get the Alexis will review your pizza.
That's right.
You basically
there's a couple of them that I haven't done yet, but
yeah,
I will rip them all up.
So you send them a picture of the top of your pizza and the bottom of your pizza, and he will give you a thorough review of your pizza. So that is one of the perks that you get. So make sure join our Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans.
Also, if you're watching right now, there's a lot of you watching, hit that like button. It absolutely helps us out.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want me to hit this ad button.
That's a threat.
I'm holding you hostage.
Okay. Elo Stack said Leeds are looking at Tyler Adams to replace Calvin Phillips, which would make a lot of sense.
In the
event that Calvin Phillips.
Jesse Marsh is an MLS All-Star team. Aronson, Dati Castellanos,
yeah, dude, it's gonna be great.
Tyler Adams.
Okay. If you join the Slack channel, you can get your pizza reviewed. So I had a lot of pizza in.
I haven't seen these yet.
You haven't seen these, so we're gonna do some live pizza reviews.
You will get my. I really hope you took a picture underneath each pizza as well, not just the top.
I did do that, yes. So I know the rules.
So we used to call them upskirts. Apparently that's causing some concern. So we'll call it an undercarriage shot.
Let me make sure.
Which sounds just as dirty, by the way.
Hopefully this works correctly. Let me just make sure it does before I display it. Yes, and we are good. Okay. So here it is.
I'll have to see this on your screen.
Yes.
Or show me the phone.
Oh, yeah. You can see it on the phone here.
Am I allowed to swipe through? Or
no. Don't swipe through.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to do that so they can't see the photos on the bottom.
Okay, cool. So,
all right.
This
is the first one you're showing.
So this
me.
Is the pizza.
Can I guess where?
Sure.
This, I'm assuming it's Northern Italy.
It is Northern Italy.
Yeah, this is Rome?
No. Way more north. This is in Lake Como.
In Lake Como.
Como. Not Cuomo.
Oh, son.
It is
Lake
not.
Como.
Yes, Lake Como. So this.
If I swipe, do I get the bottom?
Yes. So you can swipe there, and that's the bottom of that.
Okay.
So this is a square.
Yeah, this was cooked in a pan.
Uh-huh.
I could tell from the golden. So, you know, they could see where I'm zooming in.
Yeah.
So just above the sauce, there's that golden, that you see that golden color. You also see that a little bit of blistering, which is good. The sauce is cooked, by the way, which you wouldn't expect for an Italian pizza. You would expect it to be raw sauce. And I'll tell you why it's cooked. You see how dark the sauces and see that how paste like it is.
PFC Manor said Lake Buomo. Hey,
that's where I'm going on vacation. You don't need a passport. It's in Newark, bro. It's in Branchbrook Park. You see the little black speckle there?
Yeah.
Okay, and you see how dark and ruby the sauce is?
Yes.
That tells me it's a cooked sauce. Actually, so what they did is they cooked the sauce. They cooked the pizza with just sauce on top, and when it came out, they put the ham and the olive oil on top.
Okay, yeah, because this one doesn't have cheese. So
no. Also, this might have been room temperature, right?
What do you mean?
Or was it hot when you got it?
It wasn't hot.
No, it was room temperature.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is like Bonci made this famous. He's a baker in Rome. He made the style of pizza famous, even though it existed for a long time. Here we would call this more of a bakery pizza.
Okay, so this overall, I didn't really enjoy the pizza in Italy.
I'm telling you, it's facts. We got better pizza here. People don't want to hear it.
Yeah,
because don't want to hear it.
You've said this all the time, Every pizza place across Italy, north, south, central. There's no central Italy. You know how it is.
one of our good friends lives in Milan. She was born and raised in Milan, and she's good friends with my wife. My wife is like, I'm friends with a lot of pizza people. My husband knows a lot about pizza, and she's like, that's like saying your husband knows a lot about rice. Like, they're just like, it's a thing. It's a thing that everybody eats. Like, I don't understand why you'd want to know a lot about it. Because, look, it's like, you know when New York style pizza places that are really good in Portland.
Yeah.
They've got to do it the best possible way, right? Because they're really focusing on it. Where here, it's like any slice shop you walk into is going to be high.
And this is the thing.
Can I swipe?
In Italy, the main this is all the food. It's pizza and pie. It's literally everywhere. I don't even understand how it's like the way we have Starbucks on the same block.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is pizza and pie. Like,
what set you apart from everyone else?
Every restaurant has the same exact menu.
This is the thing about France. Remember, we went to like every bistro you go to in France. Yeah. Has a bistro menu. And I'm like, none of y'all switching it up. We got a rainbow bagel up in this joint. You know what I mean? Just something that really makes you stand out.
Nobody's trying to be even the slightest bit unique.
But this is the issue that happens when you live in a place like New York. It's like everything here. You walk a block, you get like 10 different options.
Yeah.
That don't happen. Can I swipe?
yeah, go for it. Okay, so this is, where's this?
This can't be Naples. This is a Naples style pie. But it's not, it's too baked. It's too baked in a lower temperature oven. So typically, Naples style pizza, if it was made in a wood fired oven, will be baked at 1100 degrees Fahrenheit at the top, anywhere between 600 to 800 at the bottom. You'd get blistering on the top more than you would the sides. Unless they dome this for a long time. This got to be Northern Italy still.
This is not Northern Italy. This is not, it's not Naples, but it's very close. This is in Amalfi Coast.
Okay, so that makes sense. So it's not Naples.
Yeah, but it's close. It's like an hour from Naples.
So that's way more cheese than you'll find in Naples.
Yeah.
Yeah, so okay. So look, I'll zoom in. See the leoparding there?
Mm-hmm.
You'd have that closer to that sort of white area near the sauce, as opposed to just the edges. That tells me that the top of the oven is not nearly as hot as the bottom. It's a lower temperature oven that they let it sit there for a while. You also would get, it'd be way more pale with spotting on it, not that dark coloration of spotting. Okay, beautiful bottom.
Okay.
wrong picture.
Alexis is rating, girls for his music video.
This is, I could tell it was baked off of stone. That's the blistering you're getting on the bottom. I would say this oven was probably at 800 degrees at the top. Maybe even less because of the baking on the top, and that the bottom was super hot. So you either went there, either it was a big mouth oven or you went there pretty midday.
It's called the big mouth oven?
Like the mouth of the oven had to be big.
Damn, bro. how they know?
Bottom and a big mouth? Can I marry her, bro?
How they know who I went to prom with?
Alexis makes pizza sound like rockets. It's the only time I sound smart. Can I swipe?
Yeah. Oh, so this is a picture. I just want to add this. This is a picture of my now wife, Helene, eating a pizza. This is the same pizza, but with no cheese. This is
looks like there's some type of meat on top.
Diavola.
They put like the spicy salami.
It was so good. I had that. Also, I had another one in Lake Como that was a square, but with that salami. It's so good. But this is Helene's. I wanted to explain something. The other one. No.
Hold on.
This is Helene's first pizza, literally first pizza that she's eaten in over 15 years. She has not eaten.
I told you not to marry. I don't know what else I have to say.
She has not eaten.
You've given me all the evidence. I'll tell you this much. I'm not married.
She has not eaten a pizza.
Okay, but to be honest, she's gluten intolerant.
No, so she has started having some gluten recently and was seeing that it wasn't affecting her negatively, but still no dairy. So she hasn't having. She had the pizza with no cheese.
But there's a lot of pizza with no cheese.
Yeah. She loved that. But this is her eating her first pizza.
What are her thoughts?
She loved it. She loved it.
it's a whole new day. She gets married and everything changes.
And then this is, where's this from?
This is not Naples because of how many slices?
Okay.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. No, it's eight. Typically in Naples, they would do four. And also this bake is very odd. This was a very dry dough. This is very low temperature. By the way, the reason I say it's a dry dough, because look at all the splitting and how dry the outside is. When you see this right here, when you see that the sauce is receded, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very low in so this might actually be.
Well, it's like this pizza has a bad hairline, I think.
Right? Well, no, what happened is that's where the sauce was.
Yeah.
And then as the outside of the dough puffed up and the moisture of the sauce reduced, which tells me this isn't a cooked sauce, this is a raw sauce, which this might actually be either Naples or right outside of Naples then. But the thing that makes me think it's not Naples is this. Typically in Naples, you would have a wood-fired oven. Only if it was done like near the door, this wouldn't happen. You've got charring on the top of the garlic, which makes me think there was an open flame, but this couldn't have been wood.
Hmm.
No. This might be Naples because of the sauce. In Naples, they're known for putting a little less sauce, but this, I would say this is outside of Naples.
This is outside of Naples. This is not Naples.
Yeah, here we go.
This is, so this is in Rome.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That makes a lot of sense.
And yeah, especially, and I hope people are calling you like a professor, people saying Pele.
CSI pizza.
Michael Raymond said raw sauced it, you know?
Yeah, you got a raw sauce.
Yeah, people saying calling you a food scientist. You mentioned that the dough was dry. This was the driest dough. This felt like eating cassava.
So okay. So this was in Rome, you said, right?
This was in Rome.
So Rome, they treat pizza like a after like party food.
Okay.
So for the most part, pizza is like it should be kind of hearty.
All right.
Does that make sense? So the hard chew, how longer it takes,
bro.
It feels a little bit like a brick inside you. think about like other after party foods like poutine.
Yeah.
Heavy, French fries, cheese, gravy, right? Heavy. Sits inside you because you're a little drunk. This is what this is.
Yeah. This was probably my least favorite of all of them, but it did taste good.
Yeah. I mean, Roman style pizza is, man, it is what it is.
And that's
that's the bottom. Look at that. No charring whatsoever. Super pale. This is a gas deck oven or an electric oven. This might be electric. And the reason I say it's electric is because of that right there. The sort of lines you see there, like that wrinkling you see over by your hand.
Yeah.
That tells me that gas ovens and wood ovens, they burst the water molecules in the air. It's a very moist, it's very moist, big mouth.
Yeah, yeah. My pizza had crow's feet.
Yeah. No, so what that is electric ovens are so dry inside that the dough constricts at the bottom. It's a texture that on the bottom that I could tell this has because it tightens on the bottom. So that's a lot of what you're seeing here. Also, terrible slice job that they didn't go through.
I love Bay Raguna said, if Alexis could concentrate like this in other aspects of life, he would be swimming in Gully Bucks.
You sound like every teacher I had growing up. And then there's a picture of me and my lady.
Yeah, I was going to show some of the wedding photo booth. I got all the photo booth photos. And
come on, that's the lady that Uncle Gio said, don't go near a Dominican man. I want to show them this. Does that not increase it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, sideways.
Look at mine and Christian's wedding photo.
we're a like? Beautiful couple.
First of all, we look really good together, dude. So put in the chat, who's the top and who's the bottom? Or is it more of a side to side?
All right. Let's start a poll for who gets the poll.
Look how beautiful we look.
So yes, thank you, Alexis. Look, and that just a preview of what you can get on the Patreon and when you get to join our Slack. So thank you for that knowledge, for bestowing us with
not a problem. I do want to bring up something. Brush said, so what we've come to accept as pizza, and again, he's in England, is pretty much Americanized version, which is why we're a little shocked and disappointed with the authentic version from Italy. Yes and no. So pizza has changed. What people are eating in Italy right now isn't what the original pizza looked like anyway, right? Pizza changes with technology. As oven technology changes, temperatures go down and up. The pizza itself changes because it's a fast-baked dough, right? It's a fast-baked bread you're making. So what I would call the Americanized version is actually an advance on pizza, because when pizza got here, we had coal ovens here. So people have tried to match that look in other areas of the U.S. And some of that more, you know, kind of garbagey pizza is what made its way to England. So when you're looking at pizza in England, like the stuff you can order from your Domino's or your Pizza Expresses and all that kind of regular stuff, that's them trying to match a regular American style. Naples and Italian style is wood fired. It's great for, you know, dates and stuff. It is what it is. But if we're competing pizza versus pizza, it's a less baked, less risen, less fermented version of the same object. American or New York style is an advancement on pizza, just like we advanced your garbage ass language.
Okay.
I'm not looking at Sam. I know he's looking at me. I'm not looking at him.
Yeah, you mentioned that. That's one of our main TikTok comments.
Did you let him know, dude?
one of our main TikTok comments is always, why are you telling us how to speak? We invented the language.
Oh, and it's my favorite.
And it's whatever.
It's my favorite.
We're going to keep
By
doing
the way,
it.
They really didn't invent the language. They merged a bunch of languages together.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. I'm excited to be back. We'll be back here as well Tuesday, 1 p.m. Eastern time with Shouts to U.S. We'll be talking about MLS, NWSL, everything going on in American soccer. Obviously, there were a couple of international USMNT matches while I was away. We can talk a little bit about those if there's time. And a lot to go over tomorrow. But thank you so much for joining us. Again, shout out to OSNYC for welcoming us in their gorgeous, gorgeous space. Come
Just
through.
The greatest.
If you ever want to play some games and get some drinks, it's a dope night
incredible
out.
Incredible drinks.
Highly
absolute incredible
recommend
drinks
it. Y'all the absolute best. We will see you tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time. As always, hit the like, subscribe, join the Patreon. And obviously, we'll update people on the news, on the Meadowlark news.
Yeah. We've got, in fact, if you are a member of Patreon, we're going to start throwing some of those lenses in the thing. We want to give you guys a little peek behind the scenes as to all the stuff that's happening. But yeah, there's a lot that's happening in this next week now that you're back before our deal starts on next week.
Obviously we're gonna be joining the Dan Le Batard network, so we're really, really excited about that. A lot to look forward to. All right,
hit the air horn for him one last time.
Boom, hit the air horn. Peace, everybody.
Love
take care. We'll see you tomorrow.